Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the iSports MSU Red Theater Report, where Jim Harbaugh may have been on Raw last night, but we still enjoy watching Mark Antonio lay the smackdown on him. I am Tyler Hayward. The Red Theater Report is part of iSportsWeb.com. Be sure to check out that website for the latest sports news and opinions. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Red Theater Report to listen to our past shows. Today on the show, iSportsWeb contributor Mike Sterner joins me as we take a look at tonight's matchup between Michigan State and Ohio State. Mike, how you doing?
Good. How you doing, Tyler?
Man, I'm doing good, and I'll continue to do good as long as we don't get that crappy angle that ESPN shelled out for the OSU-Michigan game.
Yeah, that was awful, to say the least. There's not much more I can say about it. Don't want to see it again.
Yeah. I don't want to see it again. I don't want to think about it, but I want to give people the setup in case they haven't seen it. All it was like one of those handheld cameras capturing the action from about mid-court, right on the sideline, and they were just panning back and forth. That was pretty much it. There was no angles where you could see the way the offense sets up, the way the defense sets up. It was pretty much waiting to check into a basketball game. Like you see Gavin Schilling sitting down before he checks into a game. It's pretty much you're there and you're just turning your head back and forth. Like, it was awful. It was like watching tennis pretty much from the side of the net. It was the worst camera angle I have ever seen. And frankly, I don't expect that from ESPN. Maybe the Big Ten Network once, you know, just for kicks and giggles. Maybe a Rutgers-Minnesota basketball game. Yeah, sure, go ahead, try it out. But for Michigan and Ohio State, you think it's done a little bit better. That's all I'm saying. Anyways, I digress. Let's kind of get to the action tonight. First thing we do want to do, though, is talk about Michigan State. Right now, I mean, despite the loss to Purdue recently, I guess you could call them surging, at least compared to what a lot of other teams in the Big Ten and pretty much in the nation are doing.
Yeah, Michigan State is really playing well compared to, you know, a lot of those top 10 teams that you see. We continue to see those teams lose, you know, even within the conference. You think about teams like Maryland and Iowa can't beat the likes of Penn State and Minnesota. You know, they're losing games that they absolutely should not lose. And Michigan State is really cruising by the standards of what those other teams have been doing, you know, with the win over Wisconsin coming off of that and really just smacking the Badgers down and really stunning their momentum there too. So it's very interesting to see. I think that really helps the Spartans in a lot of ways.
Yeah, and I mean, we can talk about the seeding moving forward. I think me and Ryan, we talked about it the other day. Michigan State, I'm still not exactly buying them as a Big Ten champion. Personally, I think they are the best team. I'm not saying they'll win the Big Ten tournament or anything like that. I think right now they are the best team, though. But watching everybody else fall, Michigan State, they could backdoor their way into a number one seed in the national tournament. And I think it's really important for them, we'll talk about it in a second, is if they can at least finish fourth in the Big Ten. I think that's the most important thing. But you look at the rest of it, you mentioned Iowa's lost to Penn State. Maryland lost to Minnesota, previously winless in the Big Ten. Since the Nebraska game, as Valentine was recovering from what I'm going to say is a very real injury. Purdue lost to Michigan. Oklahoma lost to Texas Tech. Oregon lost to Stanford. Kentucky to Texas A&M. Notre Dame to Georgia Tech. Those are, like, the bad losses. There's other elite teams that have lost to you know, other good teams, a couple in a row, which makes Michigan State 1-point overtime loss at Purdue actually look impressive compared to what everybody else up top is doing.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, you think about the Spartans, you know, three of their losses are by 1 point. In fact, Iowa's the only team who has been able to beat them by more than 1 point. So I think that might play in a little bit of their favor, too. And then as well, they just have one of the best non-conference resumes there is. They beat a lot of really solid teams in the non-conference. Kansas, Louisville, you know, the list goes Florida, the list goes on and on and on, Providence. So that really plays
into
the hands
of the Oakland might sneak in as the conference champ. So,
yep, there's quite a few. And, you know, some of those, you know, that Oakland game without Denzel Valentine. So even when Valentine wasn't present, the Spartans still, you know, were very much competing in those games. Really, the only team that has controlled the Spartans is Iowa. So, you know, and that might be more of a matchup thing as well. So it's really shaping up well for Michigan State if they can finish off the regular season, winning their final games, and then, you know, make a run in the Big Ten tournament. Their seeding is looking very high, and one is definitely not out of the question.
Yeah, a one seed's not out of the question. I think it's a little bit of a stretch, but it's still talked about their remaining games. Four games left. Rutgers, Penn State, and then two games with Ohio State. Now, these two games, and they are going to be very important for both teams. Let's start with Ohio State. This is a team that, look, I said a couple weeks ago, they're playing with their backs up against the wall. Now, everybody else is starting to realize it, too. They have in front of them. They just barely today made ESPN's bubble watch. CBS Sports hasn't mentioned them yet. Sports Illustrated hasn't mentioned them yet as far as making the tournament. And you look at their remaining schedule, two games with Michigan State, one with Iowa. This team's kind of fighting for their lives right now.
Yeah, they really are. I think they should really at least be content with the fact that they can win some really strong games. You know, if they were to run the table there, they're definitely in the tournament talk all of a sudden, and that would include the other publications outside of ESPN. They really need to win these games, and I don't think that they can make the tournament unless they can win the two of those three final games, the two Michigan State matchups, and then the Iowa game, as well as the other option would be really making a strong run in the Big Ten tournament. And if they don't win a couple of those games before then, they may not even have a chance unless they win the Big Ten tournament to get the automatic bid.
Yeah, I'm going to go a step further. I think in addition to two wins, whether it be both against Michigan State, one against Michigan State, one against Iowa, they need to avoid an upset in the Big Ten tournament. You can go back and you can say, oh, well, they got 10 wins in the Big Ten. How is this possible that they're on the outside looking in? Well, we do the power rankings here at iSportsWeb, and in our power rankings, Ohio State is 7. They have not beaten any team that we currently have ranked 6 through 1. They beat Michigan, who's 8. And then everybody else below that. They have no strong wins. Their only strong win so far this season is against Kentucky. And Kentucky is one of those teams where, I'll say Ohio State's one of those few teams where they can match up athletically. I mean, we talked about it a little bit this morning. Ohio State is a young team. They're potentially down the road going to be good. But they're athletic enough to where that may make up some of the difference when you look at some of the more talented teams across the country even.
Yeah, the athleticism that Ohio State brings to the table keeps them in a lot of games that other teams may not be able to stay in. But unfortunately for them, really, I think what really hurt them is that, you know, they didn't have a strong schedule to begin with, so they didn't have many chances to rack up big wins. And then when they did win games, they were winning them in stretches against really mediocre teams, you know. And I
look at their 4-game win streak right now.
Yeah, Michigan's probably the best win there, and you know the Wolverines are not playing as well as they did a couple weeks ago. So, you know, you can, and they're also a bubble team. So if you're going to say that's one of your signature wins, that's kind of a difficult argument to make. You know, you do have the Kentucky win, but even, you know, Kentucky has not played what we expect like Kentucky would play year after year. They're not as good as those years past. So it's really, you know, the Ohio State Buckeyes are going to need to win two of those three games, I believe. And then, as you said, they can't get upset by Rutgers or any team of the sorts in the Big Ten tournament.
Well, right now, they're in good shape to make a decent run, because right now they are fourth. They're a half a game ahead of Michigan State. You know, if Michigan State were to win tonight, obviously they would move up to fourth, as Michigan State would then hold a little bit of a lead, and at the very least a tiebreaker. If Michigan State loses, they drop to sixth, at the very least behind Wisconsin. So, say it right now, they have a double bye. Right now, they're in position. They are the four seed. They're not playing until Friday, if the Big Ten tournament were to start today. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Michigan State, they're fighting for that fourth spot. Have you ever really seen something where there is a team that's on the outside of the tournament looking in where, yeah, they're a four seed right now in a conference as big as the Big Ten, you know, one of the Power Five. And then you have a team like Michigan State who's a two seed, and if they win out or at least make the Big Ten championship game interesting, they may be looking at a one seed in the tournament.
Yeah, it really speaks to the non-conference resume of the Spartans. They really did some big things in the non-conference, and they traveled through the non-conference and did not lose a game there. So that really helps the strength of that. If you look at teams like Iowa, you know, they have losses in the non-conference that Michigan State did not have. So when you compare those two resumes and then the strength of the Michigan State wins in the non-conference, it's very believable to me. But at the same time, you know, a team like Iowa might argue, well, we beat Michigan State twice. Why are they considered to have a one over us? I think part of the reason may even be that the Spartans, let's face it, they have a great track record in the tournament. So, you know, putting them as a one on the bracket is big for college basketball. You think about in the past, I can tell you for sure there's been Duke and North Carolina-like teams that have probably gotten a one partially because of who they were. And I think that helps the Spartans. There's no question about it. And Tom Izzo and how well he does in the tournament. So definitely the strength of the non-conference has to play into it as well. And the fact that they have three losses by only 1 point, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and now you also have to consider the fact that Valentine missed some of that. Or if he did not miss it because he wasn't there for one of the Iowa games, but he was there for Nebraska and from the injury. He wasn't 100%. He wasn't doing, well, what he's done over the last couple of weeks, which has been play the best basketball out of anybody in the country, really.
Yeah.
This game, I think it means a lot to Michigan State. If they can get that double bye, all they got to do is win one game. They win that first game, whether it be as a 4 or 3 or 2 or, you know, I'm reaching here, a one seed in the Big Ten tournament, they can get that double bye. They don't play until Friday. How much does that benefit Michigan State than it would a team like Maryland, who they don't have the depth of the Spartans, a team like Iowa, who the way you worded it to me earlier was they have the depth, they just haven't been playing well as of late, or a team like a Wisconsin or in Ohio State or Indiana. who doesn't have the depth. How much more does it benefit Michigan State than them because they have the depth, so they can go a little bit deeper if they were to make a bigger run in the Big Ten tournament, give those guys some more playing time, give them more reps, still not lose much from a production standpoint.
Yeah, I would say it could definitely help the Spartans. You already have that depth there, so you only need to win instead of having to run through an extra round. You win one last game and you could be the Big Ten tournament champion. So that definitely helps out the Spartans if they get in that position. But at the same time, I think there could be a flip side of that where maybe, you know, a team can gain momentum by playing an earlier game. I've seen it both ways, really. I don't know how much it would play into, but I think it could definitely benefit Michigan State. In years past, it's always been interesting with Tom Izzo teams. He seemed to bounce back and forth on whether or not the Big Ten tournament is important to his team or not. There's been years where it didn't really mean a whole lot to him and his team. They cared more about going right into the NCAA tournament and getting work done there. But I think this year, this tournament is going to mean a lot to the team. I think he wants to go in there, continuing the momentum they have now and, you know, possibly get a one or two seed in the NCAA tournament. And from there, maybe avoid the teams that you don't typically like to play, like the North Carolinas and the Dukes that Michigan State often seems to have trouble with.
Yeah, I would be really intrigued with the Michigan State-Duke matchup this year. I'm not wishing for it, but just given the fact that Duke is a little bit down, Michigan State right now, you can ask anybody, they appear to be playing some of the best basketball in the country. But, I mean, I think this is one of those years where Izzo would want to win it, but it's not the most important thing in the world. I mean, obviously, last year, going as far as they did was important, and trying to win it was important until Valentine made that blunder in the Big Ten championship game that cost them. So, I mean, last year it was obviously important to try to even get into the tournament, given their resume. This year, I don't think it's going to be as much, you know. I think it was 2001 they lost the very first game.
Yeah.
In the Big Ten tournament to the Christian Brothers, if I'm not mistaken. That year, you know, Michigan State was locked for the tournament. They went to the Final Four. That year seems like one of those years, Tom, so it's just like, let's just do what we do. So, I think that this year it's going to be something where they want it, just to build up that momentum, because they are so close to a number one seed right now with all these other top teams falling off. More will obviously fall off later in the tournament. A lot of teams have tougher opponents. Everybody in the Big Ten has a tougher opponent than Michigan State right now as far as their regular season schedule. And so Tom Izzo's going to want to capitalize on that situation. Let's focus a little bit directly on the game tonight. What are some of your matchups that you want to watch? What's your key matchup for this game?
Well, for the Buckeyes, it starts and ends with Mark Loving. I think everyone knows that. I think, you know, making sure you can neutralize him and making sure that he doesn't get the open looks is a big deal. As a whole, the Buckeyes are just very athletic, and like you said about the Kentucky win, that just keeps them in games that in a way that other teams can't necessarily be in games. So it's really about locking in on that for the Spartans. You can't let them get open looks. You can't let them get open lanes to the basket and capitalize. You really have to neutralize that athleticism. It should be really interesting to see. The Buckeyes, I'm really interested to see what kind of urgency they play with. I think their backs are absolutely up against the wall. They probably know that they need to win. Out of the two Michigan State games they play, they probably need to win this one even more. It wouldn't look good to lose at home to the Spartans out of the two games. So I think that, you know, controlling that urgency and, you know, maintaining your composure if you're Michigan State. That was probably one of those things with that three-game skid where, you know, the Spartans really let themselves go and it cost them. And And I expect this to be a close game. I expect it to go right down to the end, and I expect the Spartans to use their senior leadership to close out the game and win it.
As far as the matchups go, it's hard to tell just because you don't know who is going to guard who, because Ohio State, they've got three players that are putting up essentially the same numbers. And obviously, you know, Loving and Bates Giap are, they're both forwards. They're both putting up about 12 points a game. One's a little taller, one's a little, one's got about 20 pounds on the other. The shorter one has about 20 pounds on the other. They're averaging about 5 to 6 rebounds, 1 to 1.5 assists. They're both getting a steal. One's a half a block, one's got a block a game. Loving just not shooting that well from the field right now, so you'd have to think maybe Davis goes on him. Given the situation, I think that that's going to be an important matchup. But then you look at Jayshon Tate, who's essentially a guard, and he's putting up the same type of numbers. He's about as big as Bates Giap, just as far as his athletic ability goes, too. He's just an inch or two shorter. And based on all of that, like I think since there's going to be three guys who put up the same type of numbers against Michigan State because they put up the same type of numbers all year together, they're all about the same height and weight for all intents and purposes as far as looking at matchups. I'm going to go with the one sure matchup, which is Tarasan Jaquan Lyle. Lyle's kind of pushed this team forward a little bit. Delay. He's kind of let his game come to him. He's forcing a little bit less. He still has a few brain parts, if you will, on both ends of the floor, things that he does need to correct, but he has let the game come to him, and to stop an athletic team, you've got to slow them down at the point. You need to stop the break from happening, even if it's a made-break situation. And that starts and ends with Harris. What about your X factor?
I'm going to go with, even though it might be cliche, I'm going to go with Denzel Valentine. I think in games like this, it's all about keeping your composure and not becoming too conceited and not looking ahead. And I think that starts and ends with Denzel Valentine being the leader of the team. This is a game that the Spartans should win. This is a game that they should definitely win. And Valentine's going to need to be the guy to hold them together. I think definitely Matt Costello goes into play there. And as you said, you know, the entirety, the defense needs to, you know, lock down the athletic Buckeyes. They're all, as you said, similar bodies all over the floor. Just, you know, playing good defense today and not letting them get momentum as they attempt to get a win that would really help their resume and push them onto the bubble.
My X factor, I've kind of got three. I agree with your point about Valentine, though I don't think he's technically been considered an X factor since halfway through a sophomore season. But, I mean, you saw it the last game. Michigan State was running through Wisconsin, and he started forcing it a little bit. He tried to make plays that weren't fair, and he has a tendency to do that from time to time, especially when Michigan State starts building up leads. And so I think whether how long he can hold on to it, if Michigan State does start building a lead against Ohio State, is going to be important, especially the way the Buckeyes bring the crowd to their feet with their fast breaks. Because they, I mean, let's face it, they are one of the more exciting teams. My X factors, I got Aaron Harris, Deontay Davis, and Marvin Clark. I think all three of those guys, they're going to be so important on defense. I think Clark, he kind of gives Michigan State the ability to stretch the floor and open things up for Costello. And he, on defense, he can guard outside a little bit. He gives them a little bit more room as far as that goes. As far as Clark, anyway, stepping outside, I think Costello going against sophomore and Trevor Thompson, though Thompson's got about 2 inches and 20 pounds on Costello. I think that he can take advantage of him using his experience. And you said it, he is the senior leader on the team. He knows how to use it. I think that as far as Harrison Davis go, I think they're the only, as far as pure athletes go, people that can hang with Ohio State. Denzel Valentine is going to be the best player on the floor game. There's not a question in my mind. Athletically, doesn't really compare to some of these Ohio State guys. If you look at a guy like Keyshawn Tate, and you gave Valentine athleticism to go with his current skill set, you're looking at a guaranteed lottery pick, not some guy who may be viewed as a little too slow, a mediocre defender. That, as far as what NBA scouts are looking at him at, I think he's a great defender. I think he's underrated. He just has to do so much on offense, he gets worn down on the defensive end. But that's how scouts are starting to look at him. I think you got a guaranteed lottery pick if he had Keyshawn Tate's athleticism.
Oh, yeah. Davis, maybe
Clark,
even a
Harris,
top five.
That's where you look. Right, and I mean, I've said that about Aaron Harris. If you put, let's say, Valentine's brain in Harris's body, damn, top five pick.
Yeah,
I'll just leave it at that. We've done enough Harris bashing over the last couple weeks. He's starting to come on strong. I don't want to keep bringing him down while he's riding high right now. So, what's your outlook tonight, man? What do you see happening?
I see it being a pretty close game. I think that the Buckeyes will be playing, they'll play well tonight. But I think the Spartans are in a groove right now, and the Denzel Valentine's leadership will allow them to win this game. I'm going to say, let's go with 70-65 victory for the Spartans.
Well, recently, as far as the last few days anyways, a lot's been made. This is Michigan State's best offensive team under Tom Izzo. They lead the nation in defensive rebounding percentage, though. They are, I believe, fourth in the nation in defensive efficiency or defensive field goal percentage. At least they were recently. It might have dropped a little bit. They're in the top 10. This team, everyone's like, oh, this is great offense. This is great offense. Well, it starts on the defensive end. I think it's going to stay that way tonight. I don't think that, well, Ohio State may have the athleticism. I think Michigan State's smart enough to combat that athleticism. I've got Michigan State winning this one. I'll go 76-61. I think there's just too much of a discrepancy as far as pure skill goes, even though Ohio State's athleticism may keep it in, may keep the game a little tighter than expected the rest of the way. That does it for us today. Mike, thanks for coming on, man.
Thank you, Tyler.
For Mike Stoner, I'm Tyler Hayward. You've been listening to the iSports MSU Red Cedar Report.